Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
You know, if you drop that Howard Dean scream at the end, it might actually describe me. I mean, at least relative to Ketchman, don't you think?
I'm not sure Howard Dean is him.
Does Vic know that's Howard Dean?
I don't think so.
Democrat that he is?
He's probably listening now, so you ruin that. He's going to say, get rid of that.
You're surprising the whole way. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Sexton in place of Vic Ketchman this evening, along with Joe Fortunato. We will muddle through this next hour. This is Vic's show. It has its own flavor. It's unique to him. Every Monday at this time, I am normally driving down Beach Boulevard on my way over to CBS 47 to get ready for Jaguars All Access.
And that's the dedication I love, dropping the TV gig to come and do radio.
I'm a radio guy
at
heart.
You're a fabulous man.
I'm a radio guy. I already dropped the TV gig, by the way, in case you didn't notice it.
You're not on TV anymore?
No, I'm not on TV anymore.
When did that happen?
July 31st was my last day. I opted out, decided that I had some different things I wanted to do with my life, and that was no longer one of them. Working nights, by the way, really hard on family. Anyway, so I'm normally driving down Beach Boulevard, listening to the show. And you know what? Jeff Lagerman is generally coming the other way because he's coming from town. I'm coming from the beach.
He's coming from the jungle.
And we pull in about the same time, and we're both sitting in our cars, and I know I've heard him with Vic turned way up, listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. So it's part of our life. It's a wonderful Monday tradition. And Vic is not with us this evening. Now, if you're an ardent Ask Vic reader and follow his blog on game day, if you're a Vic guy, you already know that Vic on Christmas night suffered a mild heart attack. I'm able to tell you that now. Yesterday, when Jeff and I were talking about it on the air, when Ryan Robinson, who did a heck of a job filling in, by the way, for Vic, we named him our JustX MVP.
Yes, you got to watch out
of the deal. Because he was not only doing his job in public relations, but he was doing Vic's as well. So kudos to Ryan Robinson. But we didn't have Vic's permission to tell you about his medical condition. But on this afternoon, I talked to Vic, and it had gotten out. I mean, Michael Wright, I think, blogged about it. Vito may have tweeted about it. It had gotten out through yesterday because a lot of his friends knew about it, and not everyone was certain. But we took the cautious side and told you that he was recuperating. He had suffered a mild heart attack on Christmas night.
Yeah, Friday night.
Talked to him today. He shared the story. It felt, what did he call it? A nuclear indigestion.
Yeah.
And Vic is always a person to put things into perspective. So his wife, Bonnie, took him to the hospital out at the beaches, and they brought him downtown. He had one stint put in Saturday. He will have another one tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be going home later this week. We do not know. He obviously will not be on Jaguars this week. Two nights from now, and I wouldn't expect, although I wouldn't put it past him, I wouldn't expect that he will be in the press box on Sunday in Cleveland, nor on this show on Monday. Now, if he is, great. We miss him, and we would love to have him back. But at this point, we're just kind of going to carry on without him. He is doing well. You were there. You went and saw him today. I talked to him on the phone. He sounded weak, you know, and look, he's always been a low blood pressure guy. Believe it
Absolutely.
Or not, for as fiery as he gets, his blood pressure is always on the low side. And yet today, he said, look, they've got him on some medication that lowers his blood pressure, and it's taken a guy whose pressure was low anyway, and he said he feels so weak he can hardly get out of bed.
He told me today, he said his blood pressure is going to be 2/1.
Yeah, that's what he's going for. The lowest of all time, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, but he looked good. I saw him today. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He looked great. He's got color. You know, it's great. But he's Vic. So
fatalist?
No.
Not there?
He's standing there in the hospital room, and he goes, you won't believe what they did to me. And he's describing how they go. If anybody's ever gone through this, you know, with the catheter, where it's going, how it's going. Well, he's standing there. I'm in there. With another, I'm there with Cole.
Right.
Okay. And Dan Edwards.
Right.
Now, Dan left. Dan took off. So it's me and Cole. We're sitting
Dan
there.
Knew it was coming.
And he stands there and he goes, yeah, you won't believe what they did to me. Bang, drops his pants, standing there. Look, look. And I'm like, no, Vic, I don't. Please, I don't.
Can't help himself.
I believe you.
That's good that Vic is back to being himself.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people concerned. By the way, Vic asked me to share with you that a simple email would be enough. His home has been overrun with flowers, which is very nice.
Yes, it stopped,
it's probably making Bonnie feel very good. But you don't need to do that. If you're an Ask Vic reader, if you are a participant in our radio shows, if, like many of us, you just enjoy Vic, don't send flowers. Just an email. Send it to him with best wishes. He'll get it. He'll probably reply to you, and that would make everything better. So, Vic on the mend. Good news as we get set for the new year. And we will go on. Tonight, the show will go on. We've got plenty to talk about. It's a different format for me, you know. Tuesday nights is the Jack Del Rio show. So it's about, you know, getting the coach through his show, the Jack Del Rio show. Wednesdays, let's face it, I'm Conrad Dobler and Statesman, right? I pick a little bit, start a little fight, and then I get out of the way. Or I step in and I move the conversation around. So tonight's kind of, you know, my show, right? I get to do what Vic does, which is share some opinion.
Yeah.
And we'll do plenty of that. And invite you to call with your best wishes for Vic, first and foremost. That's the most important part. And then share your thoughts. Obviously, yesterday was awful. There's just no way around
that. That's the difference with this show. This one, you are looking back a little bit.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely. Tuesday, despite the fact you're only 2 days away from the show, if they win, the coach, and you'll attest to this, right?
Yeah.
If they win, Jack does not want to talk too much about the win. If they lose, he doesn't want to talk too much about the loss. Because by the time you get to Tuesday at 6:06, he's almost 75% through his game plan for the next opponent.
You're getting the impression he doesn't want to talk too much.
Who, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes he doesn't want to talk all that much. Sometimes he doesn't. So anyway, there's plenty of opinion for you to share as well. The phone number tonight, 355-NFL-1. Ryan Robinson just walked into the room. You ever talk on the air, Ryan? If I turn on the mic, will you say something? Come on, sit down for just a sec.
Winner of the watch?
Yeah, JustX MVP.
That was big.
Yeah.
Well, you were big.
I got it.
You were real big.
I got it last year, and that watch has not left my wrist since. But I think this is hopefully a new kind.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice one, too. Yeah. It's a real nice watch. So congratulations for that. Just in terms of what you did yesterday. I mean, you were two people. And filling Vic's shoes, even though, what are they, like a size 8?
Yeah.
It probably felt like a size 14.
Yeah, yesterday was different. You know, I've sat by Vic for 5 years now in the press box, which, is anybody out there that knows Vic?
I've sat next to him here for
15. He doesn't shut up.
No.
He doesn't shut up.
Never.
So yesterday in the press box, myself and Dan Edwards, it was the quietest it's ever been. No comments, no sarcastic remarks, as you're used to. But, yeah, I did a little blog yesterday, did some Twitter, but I can't do the blog justice. It's funny, Brian, after the game I got on the message board.
Oh, you didn't do that, did you?
Got on the message board about 10 o'clock last night. Someone alerted me to it, and there's a thread that says, Ryan Robinson's terrible.
Yeah, but that's from people who don't have the courage to give you their name. Right?
I mean, exactly.
You're sitting out there on right there in front of everybody. I'm Ryan Robinson. I'm giving you my opinion. The people on the message board that give you the opinion don't even have the courtesy to tell you who they are, you know, where they work, what they do for a living. It's just an attack fest.
Yeah.
So
I talked to Vic this morning, and there was one good quote. Somebody said, the Jaguars don't seem to have depth behind Vic. They might need to draft somebody.
Well, that means you.
Yeah. So, but no, Vic, we're trying to do as much as we can this week. As you probably mentioned, Jeff Loggeman did the Ask Vic today.
How'd that go?
It went well. I think it's up on the website now. So
Loggy knows football. I mean, it's a different kind of knowledge than Vic brings to the table. But if you're a football fanatic, you'll love reading Ask Jeff.
Yeah, that's all. We're trying to do as much as we can just to keep the fans informed, because Vic does such a good job of keeping everybody informed on what's going on. But hopefully, you know, these fans will hear from him maybe Thursday or Friday with a special Ask Vic column.
Good, good. And he has said that he will probably join us, if not in person here next Monday night, depending on when he's released and how he is. He'll join us with a phone call next Monday night.
So, he said he wants to, if he can, he's planning on calling Wednesday.
Oh, for Jaguars
this
week?
This show, yes.
Now, Brian, what is your take?
Jaguars this week.
Should he be allowed to go to Cleveland? I'm of the opinion.
Oh, heck no.
He doesn't need to be on it.
Are you kidding?
His mind is set on going to Cleveland.
If they now, look, and we could go through all the playoff scenarios. If they were playing for the playoffs, I'd say, yeah, let's let him come. But it's you're playing for 8-8, which is, you know, something we're going to talk about here on the show tonight. I don't think I'd do it, Vic. I think I'd stay home. I think I'd recuperate.
Can he blog from home?
Well, sure. He'll be on TV, so he can sit and offer
TV.
His opinion.
You know, he's Vic. He spends that money.
I would
he's got
not
want to
be his wife
inch
if I had to
screen.
Watch football with him. I would not want to be his wife.
Well, I mean, she knows what it's like. On Saturdays, he doesn't leave the couch.
No, he doesn't.
Does he?
No, I hopefully, you know, I don't want him to rush back just because, you know, Vic does so much, you know, as well as Brian and Jeff in the offseason with the draft.
He's around.
And all that. Yeah, so
yeah,
that's
he's around.
Important part of time, and fans love that time of year. I'm not real fond of it.
Well, yeah, because
I like
writing.
Him once they get here. Once they get here in the Jaguars,
but, for real.
Yeah, but that's a busy time for Vic. So I say let's let the guy rest for. Yeah, we'll give him a week.
Yeah,
maybe
he can take a week off.
Week. Yeah,
absolutely. So next Monday, you expect him to be here?
Yes.
Gonna
I'd be very disappointed. Yeah, I'd be very disappointed if he's not here.
All right. Now, who have we got coming on? Is Mercedes going to join us?
Yeah, we got Mercedes. We just need Joe Fortunato here. I'm going to pass the phone number on to him and have Joe give him a call.
All right.
But it should be good.
Hey, congratulations. JustX MVP of yesterday.
How about that?
Well-deserved.
Thanks. Means a lot.
And look, you and Vic are close. So I'm sure it meant a lot for you to fill his shoes. Just like it means a lot to me to sit in here and take his show for a night.
It did. Vic is one of my best friends and kind of a mentor, but I don't want to do that for the rest of my life, a blog.
No, you want it
because
to be
I figured out yesterday you can't make the fans happy all the time.
No. Certain ones you can never make happy.
Well, let me get our
certain are always happy.
Let me get our I will say this. Mercedes Lewis has a couple more catches, Brian. He's in Pro Bowl talk. He is leading all tight ends right now in average per reception. This guy's put up a good year. Just doesn't have the amount of receptions.
No, and he took a wicked shot yesterday and is suffering. In fact, Jack Del Rio said that he's probably not going to play, which means he's not going to play on Sunday in Cleveland. He had a crack around. He didn't say the orbital bone, but he was talking about the bones around his eyes. Look, let's take a break real quick. We'll come back with Mercedes Lewis. We'll talk about the Jaguars trying to stomach the rest of that 35-7 loss yesterday in the film room today, which they had to do. Get his thoughts on the season as a whole and where this team needs to go forward. You're listening to Jaguars Monday on WOKV. This is your job. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I forgot you do this on Monday.
Sorry.
You never do it for me.
Okay, start calling you Vic. Hey, Winn-Dixie's got everything you need for holiday entertaining or any kind of entertaining. Just check out the fully cooked turkey and ham dinners. Winn-Dixie, fresh checked every day. You want to talk to Brian? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues here on News Talk Radio WOKV. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Jaguars Monday rolls along, Mr. Sexton.
Happy to be filling in for my buddy Vic Ketchman, recuperating again if you're just joining us or if you have not heard. Vic suffered a mild heart attack on Friday. He's been in the hospital since. He'll be released hopefully on Wednesday, which means we hope to get him back sometime very, very soon. He's doing well. Sends his thank you very much to many of you. And with that, we're going to continue here on Jaguars Monday. Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato, Mercedes Lewis is joining us right now. Folks, if you haven't been following Mercedes' stat line this year, you don't realize just how good he's been. When you look at the AFC tight ends, he is leading all of them. We're talking about the Antonio Gates, all of them, Dallas Clark, Owen Daniels, in average yards per catch. I think he's got 9 catches of greater than 25 yards on the season, which is the most by a Jaguars tight end. It's been a phenomenal season. And he joins us right now. Mercedes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Really, how are you? Jack Del Rio told us about an hour and a half ago in his news conference that you're done, that you're not going to play this week, that the hit that you suffered yesterday in the first half, you suffered a cracked bone somewhere near your eye. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it sucked that, you know, I had to finish the year this way, but I'm doing okay now. It's a little fracture. Maybe two inches underneath my eye, you know, so I'm kind of, it's a little swollen, got a little black eye, but I'll live and I'll be okay.
I guess that face mask needs to be bigger, huh?
Wow. Well, the way it hit me, I was, you know, I couldn't defend myself. And when he hit me, I think my face, my helmet smashed against my face, and then the impact from the hit and then me hitting the ground didn't help it at all, so...
Who was it that hit you? It was a safety, right?
Yeah, it was Sanders.
I thought it was James Saunders, yeah.
Yeah, they hit me, so, you know, it's part of the game.
Well, folks, I got off the plane last night, and I was waiting to grab my bag, and Mercedes walked by. It was dark, Mercedes, and I could see how swollen your face was. Has it gone down at all today?
Yeah, it looks a lot better today. And I boxed when I was younger, and, I mean, it's nothing about having a swollen face. It's just going to take a few days for the swelling to go down, so I'll be fine. I appreciate you for asking.
All right, well, then give me your perspective now on Mercedes Lewis 2009. And before you answer the question, I want to remind people, the 2009 offseason was the first that you spent the entire offseason in the Jaguars conditioning program working with Luke Richeson and the new staff that was bringing a different program here. The numbers speak for themselves, the types of catches you made. And, you know, the stat sheet, it doesn't always tell the story about when that catch came. Was it a crucial third down? It just says so many catches, so many yards, the average and the touchdowns. You made big catches all season long. I think you're the perfect example of how this team's veterans, young veterans, started to come around. So give me your thought on how you did this year.
Well, at the end of the 08 season, Jackie came up to me and told me that he was going to need 100% of my commitment here, and you know, just to help be a leader. And, you know, I gave my commitment, and coming back in 2009, I just wanted to be accountable. You know, in 08, I had some drops that I would want back to where I'm looking upfield to make a play and, you know, just trying to be explosive. And I remember Jack telling me, you know, you got to crawl before you walk. And so, you know, catch the ball, the big plays that happen. And so, you know, I just really focused on coming back, being that leader on and off the field, and it's really paid off.
You know, this was really the first year that we saw the Mercedes Lewis that UCLA saw. I mean, when you got here, you settled in and you learned to become a blocking tight end like Kyle Brady. And look, you and I have had this conversation many times, but share with the listeners this evening, you know, what it meant to you. Because you came in as a highly, highly decorated wide receiver, John Mackey Award as, you know, the best tight end in college football. What did you learn from Kyle Brady? What did it mean for you to go from being an understudy to Brady to being probably the best blocking tight end in the game today?
Well, first of all, Kyle Brady is just a class act and a true professional. And with his help, my rookie year, he just taught me how to be a professional and in all aspects, whether it was on the field or off the field. And, you know, along with that came taking notes, you know, just carrying myself like a true professional would. And the blocking part of the game was something that I always, you know, wanted to get better at. And he really helped a lot. I mean, just helping me understand how to use my quickness and my hands and beating people to the punch and using my athleticism to the best of my ability to execute the certain blocks that I had. And I just got better every year and really, really focused on that part, that aspect of the game, because I know that that's going to be really big as far as my longevity in this league. I mean, it's cool that you can catch and run the ball, but pretty soon you're going to get older. You know, and you're not going to be able to run as fast and do all those other things. And so some of the things that are going to help you stick in the league is your footwork. Can you block? Can you sustain blocks and, you know, do things like that? So I take it very serious. And with me getting comfortable in this offense, the blocking part was there. And, you know, I wanted to be a bigger factor in the passing game. And so, you know, I just really focused on some of the things that as far as reading defenses and taking better notes and taking film home and really becoming a student of the game to help me in the passing game, and it's really helped.
Mercedes, now you're Kyle Brady. You're that veteran presence in the tight end room, the guy that really powers the Jaguars' running game. Folks, you go back and you look what Kyle did when the Jaguars were really moving the ball. I mean, he was the guy. He could take on defensive ends ball by himself. And the last couple of years, the Jaguars are in the top five in rushing yards per game, and it's because Mercedes has been able to step up and take it to a different level. So now you're that veteran guy. Give us your take on the room. Tell us about Zach Miller, the sixth round pick. What you think of him?
Right.
Tell us what you think about Zach Potter, the kid from from Nebraska, and then what it meant to have a guy like Ernest Wilford come back into the room and give you a different dimension.
Okay. Well, first of all, Zach Miller is one of those guys that, you know, he used to play quarterback, and so he's converted. And so he's like a real athletic guy, a real fast guy. And one of the things he wants to be able to do is, you know, at least be able to stalemate guys and not get pushed around. And so he's definitely one of the ones that's always in my face and in my notebook and trying to figure out some of the things that I do. And he's been really good because he's not afraid to ask a question and very willing to learn. So he's been really good. And Zach Potter is a converted defensive end, and he's one of those ones that's big guy, you know, and everybody expects him to be able to block and get down and dirty, and takes notes very well. He's looking forward to the opportunity when he gets on the field. I'm excited to see him play. Coach Tyson saying that he's probably going to be playing this weekend, so I'm excited to see him play. He's one of those guys that's a hard worker and wants to stick his face in it, so he should do well. And then when we brought Ernest back, you know, I thought that was a good move because Ernest is just a good guy on and off the field. And from him to be converting from receiver to tight end, Ernest has a lot of heart, and he's a tough guy. And he's just a good football player and does a lot of things well. And so I knew he'd make that transition pretty easy. And so our tight end room is pretty diverse, you know, from guys coming from different positions and, you know, putting pressure on Coach Tice to be able to flip those guys around and turn them into tight ends, and me being a veteran leader and helping them with the nuances of playing tight end. And I think we've meshed really well.
Marseilles, we have got to take a quick break. Can we get you to hang through the break with us and come back in about 3 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, Marseilles Lewis is with us. We'll come back. We'll ask him about this football team rebounding, going to Cleveland. What would 8-8 mean for this young team? Lots more with Marseilles Lewis after the break. Joe, I turn it over to you at this point.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union. A job done on time and on budget, that's the union way. Brian, I'll be right back on Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on your flagship station for all things Jaguars, News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian Sexton's in for Vic Ketchman tonight. Also got Marseilles Lewis on the line. Before we get to Brian and Marseilles, I want to remind you the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a whole lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information.
One of the most famous voices in Jacksonville radio, ladies and gentlemen, spanning decades.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Fortunato.
That's me, sure.
You're very good at that, Joe.
Sure.
I want to talk about you doing this on Wednesday now, expanding your career horizons beyond just Jaguars Monday.
I'm the card reader.
Yeah, happy to be filling in for Vic Ketchman. Actually, not happy. I wish Vic were here. He is recuperating from the heart attack he suffered last week. He's doing well, doing much better. Told me to tell you thank you for all of your concern. Marseilles Lewis joins me now. Folks, look, in a locker room that has a lot of really good guys in it, marked change from last year. Marseilles stands out as one of the really good guys. And, you know, we just don't talk about the tight end as much. We talk more about the running back. What is it about you UCLA guys? You're accommodating to the media. You're friendly to the fans. You're good players on the field. You're good people off of it. They got something going over across town from USC, huh?
Well, I think it's important that, and I've always been raised that way, that at the end of the day, relationships are what really means a lot. And I'm a big guy on making and keeping good relationships. And, you know, I just try to carry myself that way because you never know, you know, when you'll need that person or vice versa. So that's just how I try to carry myself on and off the field.
You and Drew have anything going with Knighton for the Eagle Bank Bowl tomorrow?
He tried to have me bet more than $100, but I'm probably, I'm still thinking about that. I told him I'd let him know it's a game-time decision.
Do you even know where they play the Eagle Bank Bowl?
I think in D.C.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've heard of it, though.
They add a dozen bowls every year. I mean, why do you think people in Kansas get to go to bowl games now? They've got one for everybody to play. No doubt about that. Hey, give us your sense of the locker room this year. Obviously, 14 veterans were released in the offseason. Good guys, some of them. Some of them not so good guys. We won't name names, but last year the locker room was not a real happy place. Looking back on this year, how much different was it?
Well, last year was kind of a tug of war in the locker room, you know, because you had half the guys that wanted to do things the right way and were on board, and the other half were just following bad leadership. And that's the difference with this year. This year is everybody's on board, and everybody was on board, and everybody's like brothers in that locker room, and we'll go hard for each other in any situation. And you felt that when we came, when everybody was there in conditioning, in the conditioning program. So it's just night and day. And I was really happy and very pleased throughout the season that everybody stuck together.
There's a lot of guys that deserve credit for that, and I don't want to give too much to any one person. But, you know, your old buddy Maurice from UCLA has this infectious personality, and it really seems like he's one of those guys that's leading the charge to have everybody on the same page. First of all, am I correct in that assumption? And then here's the real tough question. I don't think we would have seen this Maurice step up, not in terms of his production on the field, but the way that he led the locker room, if Fred hadn't have gone, because he had so much respect for Fred that he was always going to sit back and let it be Fred's team. So, first place, am I right? Is Maurice the leader there? And two, did he need Fred to step aside in order to be that leader?
Well, as far as your assumption, you are right. Maurice is one of those guys that he bleeds football, you know, and he bleeds leadership, and he's a guy with a big heart. You know, and you can see it. He doesn't really have to say too much. You can see it on the field. Like, he does all the little extra things, whether it be making blocks for David when he's running down the field or picking up pass protections. Like, no, come on now, a running back that stones linebackers and pass protection in the way he does. Like, you don't just pancake linebackers blitzing and pass protection.
You know, like Sean Merriman.
Yeah, most running backs cut. Maurice barely cuts. He'll take you head on. You know, and so in that aspect, I have so much respect for him. But as far as Fred being there, I think that Fred leaving was good for him because it let him know that the management and everybody was confident that he could take on that role, which he has. So, it was a blessing in disguise. Maurice took it on well, and everybody understands that Maurice is one of our big leaders, and he gets the job done, period.
Mercedes, guys like you have to work week to week. I mean, you focus game to game, and you don't think about the big picture next season, the season after. You focus on the one you're in. Guys like me and Vic and Logs, you know, we look big picture, and we saw a franchise that was rebuilding this year and retooling things. So for us, 8-8 would seem like a very strong accomplishment. 32 new faces in the locker room, 16 of whom will finish at least 16, maybe more depending on how many rookies they add this week. There's three or four Jaguars that won't go next week. You know, to be 8-8, it doesn't feel good, I'm sure, to you guys. But when you look at it big picture, it really was an achievement, right?
Let me tell you something. To be 8-8, considering everything that we've been through this year, I don't like to call it rebuilding. I just call it reloading. And just getting new guys and trying to find new chemistry to go out there on Sundays and compete. 8-8 will be very good for us, and that's why this last game is very important for us. You know, we put a lot of work in, and, you know, we're looking forward to finishing up strong and getting this thing rolling next year.
And in terms of next year, obviously it begins very, very quickly. How about yourself in the offseason? Now you're going to have an injury that you're going to have to work through, but how much time rest will you get? You headed to the beach? Are you going to go play golf? You can travel a little bit? What are you going to do with yourself?
I'm a family man, and I'll be back in California. I spend a lot of time with my family, you know, because I rarely get to see them much during the season. So, you know, in the off season, I just like to take them out, relax, and I'll probably take maybe a month off and then start working out and stuff again. But I just really want to go home and just lay down, you know, and talk and laugh and play cards and do stuff like that.
Well, I bet you want to go lay down right now. Look, I'm sure that the side of your head is still hurting from that wicked hit. Sorry that your season ended that way. Really appreciate you taking time, Mercedes, and look forward to catching up with you when you're healed and back in Jacksonville for the offseason.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. You guys take care and have a good night.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, Mercedes Lewis.
All right, thank you. You too.
We will take a break. And, Jody, have a card to read?
Why, yes, I do. I'm here for you, pal.
I'm enjoying this.
I am. I'm here for you.
By the way, before we do that, then Morgan Clark and Bruce have been hanging on for a half an hour. We will go to them in that order when we return.
Yeah, you can do that real easy, too. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the area, same thing. 1-800-355-NFL1. And here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise if you like. Just make jaguarsearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarSearch.com. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. Got Brian Sexton in for Vic Ketchman tonight on your flagship station for the Jaguars. Ever. The only flagship station there ever has. Wait, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know. The one and only.
There you go. And don't forget, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. I almost said that as good as you do, Brian Sexton.
Well, I'm you've been around a lot longer than me, Joey.
A lot longer than a lot of people.
Yeah. Hey, do you know the playoff scenarios? Let me go through them real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, believe it or not, the Jaguars, even though they've lost three in a row and four or five, are still mathematically alive. Now, yesterday, at the end of the broadcast, I was incorrect in saying the Jaguars were eliminated. Because I assumed that a team with eight losses was going to be eliminated.
Isn't there like four or five different four-team scenarios?
Here they are. All right. They all begin with a Jacksonville win.
Got to win. First of all, you got to win.
You have no shot with nine losses. Okay. Then here's scenario one. The Dolphins beat the Steelers. The Raiders beat the Ravens. The Chiefs beat the Broncos. And the... let me do it differently. Jaguars win, Pittsburgh loses, Baltimore loses, Denver loses, Houston loses, right?
Yeah, but you're gonna have a hard time with that Raider win and Chiefs win.
Well,
no,
that's the thing. Here's another one. Pittsburgh loses, Baltimore loses, Denver loses, and the Jets lose. Another one. Pittsburgh, all have Pittsburgh involved. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, New York Jets. Pittsburgh, Denver, Houston, New York Jets. And New York Jets, Denver, Houston, Baltimore.
So there is one without Pittsburgh.
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. It's a lot of dominoes that have to fall. When you start looking at it, let's take the Jets, for example, right? And Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is Cincinnati going to just fold up?
Probably.
You would think so. They'd like to lose. You know, they'd like to stay in that four slot. The Patriots are in the three slot right now. They'd probably like to lose in Houston. And Houston is involved in four of the five. Here's why they'd like to lose in Houston. If you're Bill Belichick, right, who would you rather play in the divisional round? Would you rather go to Indy, where you pounded them, you gave up some late points and then made a bad decision, right? Or would you rather go to San Diego? Well, to my way of thinking, San Diego's the best team in the league.
I'd rather go to Indy.
Absolutely. If you're Bill Belichick, you'd rather go to Indy. If you're Cincy, you'd probably rather go to Indy. You'd rather go down the road, play indoors, not have to go to the coast, and play a San Diego team that already got you.
Yeah, I don't trust San Diego anyway. They could be red hot.
Well, they're very, very good. I think they're the best team in the AFC. I think New England is second because New England plays defense. When they get Wilfork back, they're going to be very difficult to play.
He's a big boy.
And oh, yeah, he is. We saw him yesterday warming up, and warming up was impressive. And Tom Brady, obviously, is hot, really hot. And Randy Moss has appeared to have gotten over the he quit thing. Three touchdowns yesterday did that. You got to have a lot of things fall your way. You got to hope Belichick plays. You got to hope Marvin Lewis plays. You got to hope the Raiders play. You get the story. And truthfully, Jaguars are not a playoff team. They're just not. They're not a consistent performer. That's not news to anybody. They've got so many rookies. They took advantage of some spots in the schedule. They won some games. The Houston Texans games probably shouldn't have won. In terms of a team that was rebuilding. They beat the Jets in New York, again, a win they probably shouldn't have gotten. And then here late, they have made some mistakes down the stretch and cost themselves in close games, and then yesterday was just an abomination. So,
see, but you can't say that next year, though, about
no,
this
no.
team.
No. Next year now, you have a lot of young players that are going to have to take a step through Luke Richeson in the offseason program.
Right.
And Gene Smith was in here, 2 weeks ago? And we were having a little conversation after we taped his pregame interview. And what did he say to us? I'm so excited to see some of these guys with a year of strength and conditioning under their belt, to see the step they take forward. So, no, the expectations will be greater next year. And, of course, they're greater on Gene because he had a tremendous draft class, best in the league. And now he has to go back and do it again. So, that's that. All right, as promised, some phone calls here. Morgan's in Ponte Vedra. Hello, Morgan. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey, guys. I love your show.
Appreciate it.
Hey, had a couple of comments and then a couple of questions. First, I'd like to say that my wife and I have had season tickets for going on 12 years now, and even when we didn't have them, we always went to the games. We are going to renew.
God bless you.
I see big upside for the Jaguars. I'm just overjoyed with the way they've played all in all. But a couple of questions now. Well, also, I just love that you had Mercedes Lewis on. I would have loved to just give him a big ups and big loves, man. I mean, the guy's done great. He's just done fantastic.
If you saw his face, you'd want to hug him because, man, I got to tell you, he looked so pitiful last night with his face all swollen up. I felt so bad for him.
A broken orbital bone?
About 2 inches below his eye, he just told us.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. I mean, the guy's just played. I was one of his biggest critics, too, because of all the drops in the last 3 or 4 years. I thought he was just another one of those busted draft picks, but he's just done incredibly well this year. Another big one, Rashad Jennings. Just, I'm overjoyed with watching this guy play and Morgan Jones-Drew and the offensive line starting to gel. Big, you know, just all positives. And it's nice to see the Jaguars with a great passing attack, a good, strong running attack. Now, which leads me to another question here. I don't know. I want to ask you guys, what are we going to do about the coach and the quarterback situation? I've been one of David's biggest defenders here for a while now, and I've caught a lot of hell about it, but because I think he's a better quarterback than the last one we had. Can't remember his name. Slips my tongue. But I
don't sense any sarcasm there.
Well, no, really. Byron, I thought he was a much better quarterback than Byron, so I've been a big defender of his, but there's been some problems here. I mean, and it's been pretty obvious. Now, it could just be he's taking some big hits that he's not used to taking. His blind side isn't as well protected anymore. I don't know. What are we going to do about the coach and the quarterback situation? The defensive line will sort itself out with draft picks, maybe with trades. I don't know. But,
well,
what do you guys think?
Well, the only person that can answer the coach question is going to be Wayne Weaver. Maybe there's two people, maybe Wayne Weaver and Gene Smith. I'll tell you, though, now, I mean, they didn't play very well yesterday, and they've had probably five games this year where they didn't play very well. You know, Seattle, San Francisco, the second half in Tennessee, this game yesterday, and Arizona here early on. Remember now, though, there are 32 new faces and 16 rookies. 3 weeks ago, he was being lauded as a Coach of the Year candidate. So I think you got to step back. They get to 8-8 especially. I think you take a deep breath. Mr. Weaver has a lot of money invested in Coach Del Rio's contract. You don't want to be too hasty. Now, with the quarterback, I think we know what David is. I think we know he is a good quarterback, not great, not elite, but good, and a guy who, with a strong running game and a very potent defense, can do what he did in 2007. But he's not going to do what Tom Brady did yesterday, which is to take that team on his back, to stand back in the pocket, to go through 1 through 4 reads. It's just not him. It's not who he is. And I don't think any of us necessarily thought that he would grow into it. Maybe we thought he'd be more consistent. I got to tell you, the throw he made to Maurice for the touchdown against the Colts, not many quarterbacks can do. And the throw that he made to Mike Thomas on 3rd and goal from the 13 was phenomenal. But then he has a bad game. You know, he's had good game, bad game, bad game, good game. It is what it is. You're going to draft somebody. He's 32 years old in February. That is ancient for a quarterback, even for a guy who's only a third-year starter. You know, maybe he continues to develop. But you're going to look for some insurance for a long-term solution there. And you're going to keep building your defense and your running game so that you can keep doing it with him as long as he can do it. So with that, I'll say goodnight and offer my prayers. Hope you will, too, for Vic, for a much speedier recovery, that we've got him back here Monday night. My pleasure, Joe. Thanks for letting me come in.
All mine, baby.
And thank you all. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show at 6:06.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.